Beauty Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercer Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercy Sisters, our programs, social justice, or spirituality. Today, my visitor is Joy Cowley. Joy, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Thank you, Beata.
Joy Cowley is a prolific writer of sacred psalms and poems and a much-loved writer of children's literature. We feel very privileged and honored that Joy comes once a year to the Mercy Spirituality Center to facilitate a retreat day and to support us during our sabbatical programs for older sisters. Joy, here in New Zealand, you're well known for your children's literature, but you are also writing psalms, poems, reflection for adults. Do you have a preference?
Oh, Beate, I find it very hard to distinguish between the two because they all come from that inner space. What happens when I write, when I know what I'm going to write, I need to make space for it. And they seem to come out of an emptiness. I think a lot of writers experience this. You sit there, you sit very still, and it's a meditative experience. And there is a rhythm that starts inside the silence, and that forms words. And the words seem to come from somewhere else. And when I've finished writing, I read it for the first time. That is a very common experience for many writers. And my daughter who paints also has the same experience. So I think any creative form comes partly from our experience in terms of conditioning, of training, but also from that spiritual realm that is beyond us. Does that make sense?
So there's no preference for children or for adults. When you have this space, that means that you don't even know if you're writing for the children or for the adults.
I suppose it's like a photographer, which is the preference, taking photographs of nature or photographs of children. I know that when I'm writing for spiritual reflections, that this is what I'm doing. It's part of my prayer life, actually. And I do have certain disciplines in my faith. One of them is regular prayer. And very often, new ideas, new thoughts will come out of that, and they will form themselves into a reflection. But I can't claim it because it doesn't really come from me. What comes from me are the years of practice the disciplines of writing. See, I've been writing since I was a child. And my first writing job was at the age of 16 when I edited a children's page. So I've been doing it for many, many years. I'm now 79. I don't have to worry about all the structural stuff where writing is concerned. Yeah. It's just the tool which provides for the reflections. And I think it's a bit like that with my Catholic faith, too. I don't have to worry too much about the structures and the rubrics and what this says and what that says. It's all a part of me, and that makes space for the mystery of the faith, which is very full and wonderful.
So you have come to a part where you can really concentrate on what is coming to you. And I think that's very beautiful. I was just thinking of driving a car. In the beginning, you have to concentrate where is what the car. But once you have the practice, you can drive and talk and do many things.
It's exactly like that, Beata. And, you know, somebody once said that true art comes from practice, not chance, as those who move most gracefully have first learned to dance.
Correct, yeah. Yes. Dancing is the other example.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of fun when you know the steps and you don't have to concentrate on them anymore.
And it's awful when you're trying and you're treading on everybody else's feet.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are on air every Friday morning at 8:40 a.m. on Planet FM 104.6. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Joy Cowley. Joy is a New Zealand writer who writes children's literature as well as psalms, reflections, and poetry. Joy, during our sabbatical programs for religious sisters, you have been accompanying the group on their pilgrimage to the places of origin of Catholicism in New Zealand. You gave beautiful reflections. What is your experience of this pilgrimage?
Well, the pilgrimage is a beautiful one because, A, it's with sisters who are approximately my age. I'm 79 now, so I consider myself a crone and of a reasonable spiritual maturity. So are they. So it's a sharing experience, and we feel that we're on the same path. We're on the same stage of pilgrimage. There is that. There is also the beauty of the scenery that we go through. There is the Catholic history which is presented to us. And all of this seems to combine in something that is quite new for us. For me, I gain as much as I give, certainly probably more. I am with women who understand what it is like to look back and see their faith in their life experience. We've also come to a stage of tolerance. I would like to use the word wisdom, but that sounds pretentious. It's just that we know a lot of living it. And I do believe that a lot of our spiritual understanding comes from life experience. When we are young in our faith, we are given sets of guidelines, sets of traditions, instructions. We're given answers, actually, before we've lived the questions, aren't we?
Yeah.
But we actually live those questions. And I'm aware that the Catholic Church is a very wide umbrella, and it holds people at all stages of formation. I also think that as we get older and more mature in our faith, that the responsibility for tolerance is on the people on mature journey, because we can always see where we've come from, but we can't see what lies ahead. So for the person who is just a beginner in faith, and it's not a race, it's not a competition of any kind, it's the way the Holy Spirit develops us. We need to be understanding of where we've come from, because they're in that space. And when I find myself getting a little intolerant with intolerance, or getting judgmental about judgmental attitudes from people who are at a stage of space where there is a stage where they are still clinging to the signposts.
Yeah.
And I remember a time when I was 19, somebody gave me a little Buddha for a birthday. It was beautifully carved. It was tiny. I think it was meant to be worn on a chain around a neck. I thanked the person very kindly. I was a very conservative Christian, very fundamentalist, actually. I took the Buddha inside and put it in the fire. I couldn't cope with it. And that was a very valuable lesson. Actually, all our sins are wonderful teachers, aren't they? We shouldn't try to dismiss them too quickly, because there's always a lesson there to be learned. So that lesson has stayed with me, a lesson in new faith and intolerance, which can be a part of that.
It reminds me that in your article in Tui Motu, you said insecurity and doubt are friends of wisdom.
Oh, yes, they are. I can remember a time when I was taught that security was a virtue and doubt was a sin. They're actually the other way around, because it's doubt that moves us on in our journey and our pilgrimage. All of life is a pilgrimage. It is doubt that makes us take off the clothing that's too tight for us and step onto a new place. If you are going to ask me what is my personal creed right now, It would be something very simple. It would be encased within our traditional creed, but it would be a personal one, something like this. I believe we come from a greater reality we call God. I believe we return to that greater reality, and our little time on here in life school is for personal growth. The growth of the soul, if you like. And everything that comes to us in this life contributes to that growth. The difficulty is we are comfort-loving people. It's part of our primal instinct for survival, that animal instinct for survival. We like comfort. We don't like to be disturbed. We don't like tensions. But actually, we grow through tensions, don't we?
But also when you said that once you've learned the steps of writing, you don't have to think about it anymore.
That's right.
And if you think of people who have learned like the steps in the church or wherever, and all of a sudden there are changes that were just, they caused tensions.
Yes. Now, Catholic teaching is, of necessity, one size fit all. But the church absolutely understands that every individual is treated as an individual by God. So the Holy Spirit deals with us who we are within that wide umbrella of the church. And that's the wonderful beauty of the church. Sometimes I've had someone say to me, you're not really a Catholic. And that has been said to me because I've said something that is not in accordance with where they're at. And I thought, and probably when you're my age, you might be in the same place because it's a growth process. And we start out on a narrow road, which gets wider, wider, wider. And it's all blessing. And we do come to a stage where the road doesn't have fences. It doesn't even have horizons. It's all in the light of God, and it's in the church. And if we read the mystics, traditional mystics of the church, we see that this road is outlined to this wide place. It goes right back to the second and third centuries. It goes back to the Gospels. And that's why I believe so much in Lectio Divina, which is reading scripture, especially the Gospels, not so much for intellectual information, but for the nurturing of the heart. Because if we read them as Lectio Divina or Divine Word, the words that we need for the day will come up to us. It's almost as though they rise off the paper and connect with us. If we stop trying to make them into rules and regulations, that will happen.
Lectio Divina is often used for parish groups and groups that belong to the church to start their meetings with the gospel, and then you read and reflect on it. And there is also a certain structure, isn't there?
There is a way of doing it so that it connects with everybody. Traditionally in a monastery, the reader, the cantor, would be reading the gospel passage for the day while the monks were having their evening meal. And when a word or a phrase was meaningful to a monk, it would get up, leave the table, and go to his cell, taking that as reflection for evening prayer with him. And the reader, the cantor, would go on reading, repeating the same reflection over and over and over until the last person left.
Oh, so each one had his word and was withdrawing from the group to reflect on it personally.
Some might have taken the same word or phrase, but it could be different for each person there. It depends on our space, because God always speaks to us where we are. And so that's the discipline that's required, that the word is seriously in a contemplative way repeated again and again and again. And sometimes when it's at the beginning of a meeting, as you say, it's read about three or four times.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that in some meetings we had like the word first and then a sentence, and then somebody, each one was explaining why the sentence was meaningful to him or her.
So you did a reflection on that, mm-hmm. Oh, that's lovely. Yes.
So that's something that has been rediscovered in the, when was it, about 40 years ago?
I think in some traditions it's always been done, but it usually was held in the monastic traditions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of these monastic traditions have flowed over into lay associations now, which is lovely, with lay people get together do this.
Yeah. So when you were talking about the wisdom of getting older, there are advantages and disadvantages of getting older. I think that you said that the disadvantages are usually on the physical side, whereas the advantages are the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual growth.
That's right.
And it will never stop, would it?
No, it doesn't stop. And the physical side, of course, sometimes involves discomfort. So that tends to be paramount. You know, you don't feel very spiritual if you've got toothache, for example. And you have to get over the fact that you can no longer kneel at church because you've got a titanium knee. These things get in the way. But the blessings are so much greater. You don't really worry about where God's got you. You don't have to be like anybody else or try to be different. Your self-acceptance comes. The understanding that you are made a unique individual by God, for God, that you are made for love, that love is your spiritual identity. I'm quite accepting of the fact that I am both part spirit and we're born into an animal body. I believe that our souls come from God and we come into this animal body because we do need to grow on this planet through all of the conditions that the planet demands. And it is a growth generally through tension. It's hard work, but it's also glorious because there is this. Certainly, if we're traveling on a faith journey, we are growing spiritually as well. So as the body matures and then starts to wither like a ripe fruit, so does the spirit blossom and becomes larger. And it's a lovely, lovely journey.
So faith is also changing the way that you receive
it. It gets bigger. It gets bigger in many ways. One of the important things that happens, I think, with age is that divisions begin to disappear. Even the division between good and evil, which seems so clear when we're young, no longer becomes clear because we can see that God has a way of turning the darkness to light. In fact, I would go as far now to say is the darkness serves the light. And we find the interconnectedness of all things. I believe that everything on this planet serves our growth and as a teacher. I know that my next retreat will be on the parables of nature. And this is the awareness that all of nature also speaks to us of spiritual growth.
And Pope Francis, in his latest encyclical, he was often talking about interconnectedness.
Interconnectedness. Yes. So, for example, let's just take the parable of the seasons. We think of winter as being a stage of dormancy and death. Winter is actually preparation for the season of greatest growth. And so it is with the winter of our lives. I know people who suffer loss, emptiness, depression, wonder how they're going to stay alive in this darkness. And then a huge growth comes out of it. And I do know this, that if we are serious about our faith, serious about pilgrimage, life pilgrimage, then there will come a time when the greater reality we call God will pick us up by the ankles, turn us upside down and shake us empty so that we can be filled with something much greater. I use a lot of metaphors, but I think a lot of metaphors are necessary rather than just one. I'll put it another way. Life is full of little crucifixions and resurrections. And what Jesus showed us is that what is resurrected is always greater than what has died.
These are beautiful words. Mm-hmm. But in the Bible, there are also lots of metaphors. That's how Jesus speaks to the people, in metaphors.
And there was that one little passage, and I can't remember which gospel it's in, and it says, "And Jesus spoke all things in parables." I think it's because there is no language for the heart. The head has language. The heart has only feeling, and it can only be expressed in metaphor, allegory, parables.
And the parables are differ to according to what who is listening, because you cannot use the same parables in different countries where people don't know what it means.
That's so. We can't. I have a concern now with retreats, because I have people coming on retreats who have no church background. Biblical expressions are a foreign language to them. And, of course, I have a love of Scripture. That's been with me since I was a small child. That means nothing to people. So sometimes I have to find new parables. I have to let go of ecclesiastical language to tell people what they already know within them. I'm not telling anybody anything new. Have you noticed that when someone speaks truth to you, it's not discovery, it's an unwrapping of what you already know? Truth will speak to your heart, and you will think, aha, yes, I knew that. I just needed someone to remind me.
Yeah, knowledge is, there has to be also a basis in order to let words or information or thoughts grow.
It does.
And I think that's like with the sowing of seeds. Wherever they fall, there might be a plant afterwards, or there might not.
I know that church leaders keep telling us, canon law isn't law, it's guidance, because people will want to etch that in stone. And it's not, it's guidance. And it will unwrap itself. And the wisdom in it will go on being unwrapped as we get older. If we try to hold on to a set of legal beliefs and cling to them, we're a bit like people sitting on the road worshipping the signpost, you know. But they're there for us to grow with them. We don't grow away from them, we grow with them. And we keep coming to new places of journey, those wider places I talked about.
And this growth and opening new possibilities, opening new doors, is so important for that development.
It is. Yes, it is. And this is why I think, well, I've discovered for myself that continuing on this one path is very important. I do think it's important to have a path. I look at the other religions, and yes, I can see the path is valid for their cultures, and I rejoice when I see people traveling on them. For me, I was reminded of this, of the need for a path, by someone from another faith. It was a Ramakrishna Swami, because I had been reading the Catholic mystics. I had more or less left the fundamentalist churches I've been going to as when I was young, and I was exploring other religions, and this Ramakrishna Swami, when I told him what I was reading, he said, "You are like a hen, scratching here, scratching there, that is no way to dig a well. The Divine Mother is calling you to be a Catholic." He sensed what I was being called to, and he was absolutely right.
Maybe to use another metaphor, when you say that you have to have a path, maybe it's a path but not a tunnel.
Yes. Well, I suppose it's digging a well. You know, to go deeper, I was on the surface of things. Mm. And I think that a lot of people who are searching do go on the surface, scratching here, scratching there. But it's okay. You know, the Spirit will guide us. I always think the key word is awareness, to be aware of what's happening around you. What is the voice in your heart saying? I know that this is so for all religions. In Hinduism, they talk of awareness. In Buddhism, they talk of mindfulness. And Jesus always talked about wakefulness. Be awake. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be awake. It's the same thing. It's living in the present moment and being spiritually aware.
And that's an openness.
It is an openness.
An openness to growth.
The moment we start closing down with our man-made ideas and closing the doors, there is a moment when we stop growing. And I've been in those moments. I've been like a train that's tried to jump off the rails, and I haven't gone anywhere until I've got back on again.
And I think that the pilgrimage was a nice way to get to know not only the actual pilgrimage, but you learned something about the history and the path that many missionaries went and what they had to bear during that time. But then you had the Mercy sisters and other sisters who came with us on the pilgrimage with their experience, and they were sharing their life experience during the pilgrimage.
So what it becomes is those pilgrimages become a celebration of all aspects of spiritual life.
That's a good word. Thank you very much, Joy. That's a good way to round it up. And I think that we are all called to be aware and to be open and to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Beata.
Thank you very much. And to our listeners, what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? Today, 21st of August, we will have a congregational panel at our center. Facilitated by Dame Lindsay Freya, we will have guests from different religious congregations sharing the background of their congregation and what they consider makes it special, and we give the possibility to have a discussion. That's today, 21st of August, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. On Wednesday, the 9th of September, we will have a talk by Mary Betts with the title Rooted in the Lives of the Poor, Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker. 9th of September, 10 a.m. to noon. On Saturday, the 12th of September, Sister Christina Cathro will facilitate a retreat day on exploring our inner landscape. For all our events at our center, please register with us per phone at 09 for Auckland 638-6238 or through our website www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And if you have any further questions on these events or feedback on our Muffin Talks, please let us know. And you might want to have some time for discernment or find out what you can do. Consider spending some time at our Mercy Spirituality Center. Give us a call or have a look at our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. And thank you very much, Joy, for coming here to the studio.